It's hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK. Coming up at 11:40, it's the Midday Movie Review, examining the 2002 college comedy Van Wilder, followed by a chat with the guy who served as the inspiration for the film, comedian Bert Kreischer. That's coming up at noon. Tender time is at 11:30. Wags, what is the headline for today?
The Padres remove a jersey of one of their main ballplayers, newly acquired ballplayer, from their team store.
Okay. And in mere minutes, BK Investigates returns with an inside look at the dating life of one Trevor Bauer. I'm Trey Elling. He is BK Investigates. Adam Wagner behind the glass. Text us, suspects, text line 337-3776. Give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Courtesy Wave, at Not the Fake Wags, and at Brad Kellner, BK.
That name would suck if your last name is Investigates. I guess not quite Smallwood level of last name sucking, but it wouldn't be great. You know what? You don't want a name that's like a word.
Buttkiss.
Buttkiss is not great, especially when Dick is your first name. Hey, good thing that guy turned out to be a legendary Hall of Fame football player. Otherwise, his life could have been bad.
I mean, I feel like that's boy named Sue level rationale right there. Like, you have no choice but to either be the toughest dude on the planet. Otherwise, you're probably dead by the age of 21. Right?
It wouldn't be great for you. I don't know if you could put up with that. I'm trying to think of other really bad last names that have been out there. There's that yearbook picture of the little Asian kid, and his name, or at least under there, is Damn Son, D-A-M-S-O-N. I think that's an internet bit versus the kid's real name, but that'd be an interesting one right there.
Worst last names. Let's see what comes up. 30 most unfortunate last names in movie history. Oh, my gosh.
Fire away. That's whatever you can read.
Richard R-A-P-E-R is his last name.
Rapier, I believe. That's what we're going with.
Opinia?
Nope. This dude's name is and he's a photographer as well, so he gets to advertise himself as this. Bill, is it Buttram?
Buttram? Buttram? Bill Buttram. Photography. That sucks.
Oh, my goodness. Sean.
Ooh. I don't know if I can read that. Can I read that?
Just think Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
But the S is followed by Sheets. So.
Yeah, the last name is a combination of Charles Dickens and Ben Sheets.
There you go.
Ranger great. Ben Sheets.
Oh, man. This is not a good
one. These
are
rough. These are real names.
Maybe this is Jared Goff's dad.
Jared Goff's father, Jack.
Jack Goff.
You hate to see that. I hate to see that. I don't
there
know.
There are some that we definitely cannot read.
All right. Well, my last name is not Investigates. I can tell you that for a fact.
How is this a name?
Christian Guy. There is a Virginia basketball player named Kyle Guy. Christian Guy, though. That's just, you're just describing the guy himself. He's a Christian guy. Dick Smalley. That guy is like the president of something, too. He's got one of those famous pictures. Looks like the president of a synagogue or something like that.
He's got a chicken neck is what he has.
Yeah, that guy's not Jewish. Never mind. We're passing him. We're passing Mr. Dick Smalley off to you people. That can't be real. That can't be real.
He's, you know what? He's Asian. Doesn't matter, but
fat,
based on how authentic the name is, that there probably isn't the connection that his parents are making when they're naming him that.
Yeah, New York City taxi driver as recently as 2011 was named Fat, P-H-A-T, Ho.
Last name is Ho.
H-O. Fat Ho. Amazing. All right. I don't know how we got off on that tangent. I'm going to set the scene here, though, before we start the music. I'm going to set the scene for today's return of BK Investigates. Now, this will be different than the majority of BK Investigates moving forward. Usually they will be a piece about some sort of history.
Okay.
Whether it's an event in sports history or an event in American or world history, just something that might have happened a long time ago that I'm going to delve into that either I don't think got enough attention in real time or hasn't been talked about in a long time, or maybe I just haven't researched in my time.
Not to throw you too far off track at the beginning of this, but can I suggest the next topic?
Okay.
The origins of cornflakes.
The origins of cornflakes.
Yep.
Is there a story there?
BK will investigate and want to bring that one to light.
Okay. All things are considered. You can always text, always tweet. I'll take your considerations. But this one caught my eye. I wasn't planning on doing this. This one's about Trevor Bauer. And I'm going to start this off with a quote from a Cleveland Indians teammate.
Oh, boy.
Another starting pitcher from the Tribe, from Mike Clevinger. It says, quote, "The truth hurts sometimes. His attitude is, if you don't like me, there's 7.5 billion people on this planet, so I'm pretty sure that others that will. I'm pretty sure there's others that will, so you can go kick rocks," end quote. And that, in this long article from Sports Illustrated and my investigation, that is a very good Twitter, 140 characters or less type of description to describe Trevor Bauer. He doesn't care. If you don't like him, he doesn't care. Somebody out there is going to like him, so screw you. Trevor Bauer has made some headlines during his baseball playing career, Trey. Some good. He led his UCLA team to the College World Series finals in 2010, was the third overall pick in the MLB amateur draft in 2011, was a part of the Indians team that went to Game 7 of the World Series before losing to KD Chicago Cubs, is coming off a phenomenal year, finished third in all of Major League Baseball in earned run average, might have won the Cy Young if he didn't get hurt late in the year. But most of the headlines you get from Trevor Bauer have been not so good, like cutting his finger open on a drone before an ALCS start in 2016.
Not good.
Or getting into Twitter spats by subtweeting Houston Astros pitchers for doing immoral things and accusing them of cheating to increase their spin rates. Or being a part of a recent Deadspin headline that read, "Trevor Bauer has been harassing a woman for more than a day now," in a story that we touched on involving a 21-year-old Texas State student that I tried to slide into the DMs, not for harassment purposes, but to try to get her on the show, and she never responded. Did follow me back, though, so yeah, we're in it. But because of those not-so-good headlines, Trey, Trevor Bauer has become one of the least liked players in all of Major League Baseball, and frankly, he doesn't care. This is BK Investigates.
Yeah, wow.
About that scene setter right there. Amazing. Pink Panther, I don't know anything about this. All right, so to understand it, we will get to my favorite part of the story towards the end, Trevor Bauer's dating routine.
Okay.
If you will. If you can even call it dating, what this guy does. It's like calling what I do dating. I don't know if you can call it that.
Eerie parallels.
But to understand the Trevor Bauer story means you have to understand his childhood a little bit. There's two things, two guarantees for Bauer growing up. Number one, he was playing baseball. And number two, he was getting bullied constantly. This guy cared so much about baseball, he used to go ride around on his bike with a bucket of 96 baseballs that he brought with him. He'd go throw them against the fence of a tennis court. Practiced alone, didn't have any friends, and he recalls kids yelling at him while he's riding his bike with all these baseballs, calling him a nerd, calling him a loser, all the time as part of his kids, as part of his childhood. He would wear baseball pants to school all the time, which you're kind of walking into being bullied if you do something like that.
That's committed, though.
His parents even warned him, like, hey, if you wear these baseball pants to school, people are gonna talk a little trash to you a little bit. He didn't care. He got bullied by teammates in high school baseball. He even got bullied by his JV coach in high school. How about this? Trevor Bauer kind of did his own workout regimen, kind of did things his own way. He started carrying around a 6-foot-long javelin-like tube wherever he went. And he would wiggle this thing over his head to strengthen his shoulder. Just looked kind of ridiculous. His teammates would hide the tube in the trees by the baseball field. And his JV coach told him that he relied on it to compensate for a small dick and cheats. Let's just go ahead and say that.
Jeez.
JV coach told him that. And he had a moment where everything flipped, though. He was like a lot of kids who get bullied where they're like, man, why does everybody hate me? Why don't I have any friends? Why don't girls like me? Why does everybody keep talking trash? Am I really that bad of a guy? He had a moment, he said, after a workout. He looked in the mirror. He's like, I don't see anything I dislike. I'm going to go play college baseball and go play in the MLB. I'm successful. I like myself. And from that day forward, he says he just stopped giving a you-know-what about what people thought about him. Mm-hmm. And now he just doesn't care. Interesting story from his college days. So Trevor Bauer was the third overall pick in the 2011 draft. The number one pick in the draft was Garrett Cole, now on the Houston Astros, who also played college ball for UCLA. Garrett Cole, during their freshman year, once called Bauer out in front of the team because Bauer was doing his own workout plan and was ignoring what the coaches said and wasn't doing what every other pitcher on the Bruins staff was doing. Bauer told him to bleep off And those two didn't talk until an alumni game last year at UCLA. They went years, all 3 years at UCLA, and then 5 years into the big leagues without saying a word to each other.
Man, part of me doesn't fault Trevor Bauer for knowing what works for his body better than his coaches think they do.
So that's what he was. And Trevor Bauer was drafted by the D-backs, CKS, not G, even though we're talking Trevor Bauer.
Did he pitch for Arizona?
4 appearances for Arizona. And the guy who drafted him, the guy who scouted him, was Jerry DePoto, who was an assistant GM at the time. 4 months after he was drafted, DePoto took the head GM job with the Angels. Jerry DePoto, known for signing Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, and C.J. Wilson to 3 of the most ridiculous contracts ever in one offseason. But DePoto was the guy who bought into Bauer and was like, you can do whatever you want. We know that you're good. That's cool. Once DePoto left, the D-backs brass, they were done with him. So they traded him to Cleveland, and he told the Indians pitching coach, Mickey Callaway, he's just like, I don't care what you say. He's always done his own thing. And the point of all of that, Trevor Bauer is more concerned with being right than he is with being liked. He goes about business his own way. Anybody who's tried to doubt him or question his methodology, he doesn't care. He stops talking to them. He tells them to bleep off, and he's done with them. But it's worked. Trevor Bauer's become one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball over the last couple years. One of the hardest working dudes out there. But he doesn't care what you have to say about him. So that's sort of a basis to set the scene. Now, this is the part that got me. There's a couple of things in this article and in my research that really stood out. And this one is involving his dating life, Trey. How about this? When Bauer meets a potential romantic partner, he outlines for her the parameters of any possible relationship on their very first date. So he doesn't wait. He lets the woman know this is what it's going to be. He says, I have 3 rules. Number 1, no feelings. As soon as I sense you're developing feelings, I'm going to cut it off, because I'm not interested in a relationship and I'm emotionally unavailable. He tells women that on the very first date.
He's being upfront. He's being honest. I don't fault a guy for that.
Yeah, some guys will kind of lead the girl on and make her think that there's actually something there. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything like that, but maybe it's better. It sounds kind of douchey, but he is being upfront. He's being honest.
I think it's the opposite of being douchey. I think that being passive aggressive about that sort of thing is the D-bag route to go there.
Thank you. Number 2 on Trevor Bauer's 3 dating rules, no social media posts about him while they're together, because private life stays private.
For a public figure, I totally understand that.
That's fair. There's a lot of athletes and celebrities who buy that, for sure. They don't want their stuff getting out. If they can keep things private, they're going to keep things private.
As a matter of fact, I know of somebody here at this radio station who has had a similar scenario come up where something was posted of him on social media, and he asked that it be taken down. And that's a much lesser level of public figure versus where Trevor Bauer is.
His ultimate scrub move by the guy who asked to take it down, if we're talking about the same thing. Me? I thought you were talking about, I posted something about somebody else, and it was getting too many notifications, so he asked me to delete it.
I wasn't going to throw you out
what
there.
What did I do? Well, now, hold on, throw me out there.
This is going to take it to a place that you don't want it to go.
You can't tease anything like that. there will be a time and place. There'll be a time and place for that story.
When the legend grows even more.
The legend. All right, so no social media posts. That's fair. Number 3, this one is not fair. Now, I buy it. I agree with it. If relationships could involve this, then I'd be in relationships all the time. Number 3, the 3rd and final rule of Trevor Bauer's dating life. Quote, I sleep with other people. I'm going to continue to sleep with other people. If you're not okay with that, we won't sleep together, and that's perfectly fine. We can just be perfectly polite, platonic friends, end quote. So that's the part right there that's probably not going to fly with most ladies. I don't think that would fly with most dudes, right? If your girl comes up to you and says something like that, hey, I'm going to sleep with other people, and if that's not okay, then we're not sleeping together anymore. I'm not sure that flies with a whole lot. That's Trevor Bauer's personality in a nutshell, and I can't deny, I kind of dig those 3 rules of dating, man.
Man, as somebody who tries to do things his own way. Talking about myself right now, got to respect a dude that is willing to eat you know what throughout his life to be the most comfortable in his own skin that he possibly can be. And it's interesting to find out that the drone incident, while obviously a bad look considering the timing and what happened and how the problem continued to surface in the playoffs, including the World Series, that his explanation for why he got the drone wasn't because he was some goofball messing around with the drone. It was something that was bought specifically to help him get better at baseball, too.
Yeah.
So the guy has a method to his madness, and clearly it's gotten him this far.
I'm glad you said comfortable in his own skin. Trevor Bauer, very confident in his ability as well. About this, he's going to be a free agent after the 2020 season. He can't opt out after next season. Trevor Bauer says when he does reach free agency for the first time as a big leaguer, he vows that he will never sign a contract longer than 1 year. Matter of fact, he has a bet with a friend. The friend is allowed to shoot him in the nuts with a paintball gun if Bauer goes against his word and signs a contract for longer than one season.
Hmm.
He figures that he'll earn a lot more money overall, because commitment-shy teams will be willing to throw money around to dudes on a one-year deal, and he thinks teams are going to be happy to pay him like 1 year, $30 to $35 million. And he also thinks that I'll get to play for a contender every year. I get to pick and choose where I want to go. Some team's going to want me because I'm really good. I'm just going to sign one-year deals with the team that I think has the best chance to win and the team that has the chance to pay me the most money.
Man, is that a smart strategy? I mean, I know you go for the money up front, but he's right, because market value... Now, I guess we have to say that with a caveat with what's going on in baseball over the last couple of off seasons now, but market value for a guy who has proven to be a dominant pitcher still exists, especially when you're not having to make the 10-year commitment that is part of the gripe right now with the Manny Machados and the Bryce Harpers of the world, right?
Yep. And you look, you can't predict injuries. You can't predict certain things happening. The drone incident. Trevor Bauer took a line drive from Jose Abreu off of his arm.
They were fluky things.
Sure.
They were not structural injuries that he dealt with.
So that's why guys want the long-term guaranteed contracts. Look, baseball, all the money's guaranteed. You sign one of those huge deals, you're getting paid. Regardless of if you get hurt, regardless of if you suck, that money is yours. But Trevor Bauer says because of lifelong training programs and perfect mechanics, calls them perfect mechanics, says that he's not going to get hurt.
Mm.
And how about this? This is... You know, this is the ultimate college humor right here for Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer really cares about his brand, which almost feels ironic, the amount of times that he's called people out and the amount of times that he's ticked people off with social media or interviews or whatever. Trevor Bauer one time almost got hurt in an arbitration hearing with the Cleveland Indians.
This is crazy.
Because of his sense of humor. So one of the bits that Trevor Bauer does, he really loves two numbers, Trey. He loves the number 69, and he loves the number 420.
Oh, nice.
Those are the two numbers that Trevor Bauer really likes. A reminder, this guy is a grown man. He's a professional adult who is 27 years old. Make sure I've got that age right.
Just a couple years older than you?
Just a couple years older than me. 28 years old. I beg your pardon. 28 years old. During an arbitration hearing with the Cleveland Indians a couple of years ago, the opposing lawyers spent 10 minutes of his hearing criticizing his social media activity, particularly the 69 Days of Giving campaign that he conducted last year, in which he donated to charities.
That's crazy.
He donated to charities, but the increments were $420.69. Every day for 68 days, and then on the 69th day, he donated $69,420.69. The arbitration officials for Major League Baseball tried to use that against him, but thankfully for sanity, the arbiter didn't side with the MLB. They sided with Bauer, who actually got $13 million from the 2019 season. How about that? How about that? And he says, when he was asked about this, he says he does it to build his brand. He's found that's what audiences like. They like those numbers, 69 and 420. And he's right. That's hilarious, man.
I love that we're at a place, and I'm sure this arbitration was sometime in the last couple of years, that we're at a place in this current era where you can't be generous on your own terms. Like, there was nothing but generosity happening and him amusing himself and, like
just
BK just said,
baseball.
Building his brand at the same time. And that they try to use that against him, a guy being generous like that. Unbelievable.
Trevor Bauer has aspirations. He wants to be a billionaire. not for any other reason. He just wants to say that he became a billionaire and also hopes that he is the biggest baseball brand, the most internationally recognizable baseball brand. That's his newest five-year goal. Fascinating guy, man. Fascinating guy. He's kind of the ultimate douche, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
He kind of is. I can't deny that. And once again, the Texas State harassment story.
Yeah, what happened with that is awful.
That's ridiculous. Astros fans obviously hate him for calling out other players. He did talk about in this article. He said he respects the hell out of the Astros because they do way more analytics and focus on certain things for pitchers, sabermetrics and numbers for pitchers. They are far and away the number one team in baseball when it comes to that, and he says he respects that. But he also did double down and saying they're using this Pelican grip dip that helps increase their RPMs and their spin rate on fastballs and curveballs in Major League Baseball, which it's considered a foreign substance. But if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, and there's a lot of teams who do it. The Astros just probably do it better than most. Sorry, Astros fans who probably think Zion Williamson is playing for free at Duke this year. Probably the same type of people.
Gullible.
But, you know, people will call him a jerk for that type of stuff. And he can't get out of his own way at times, it feels like, for social media. But that's just his personality, man. And a lot of baseball players these days conceal those personalities. And baseball is not appealing to the younger generation because there's just not a whole lot of pizzazz. There's not a whole lot of personality in the game of baseball today. It's almost like one of those unwritten rules. Right, that baseball has. Some of them are so ridiculous. It's almost like an unwritten rule to not show any emotion or flair. And if you do, we're going to throw at you the next time you're up in the batter's box. So I'm rooting for this guy, man.
Yeah.
He's fun to watch. He's obviously an awesome player, which I like to root for some of the best players in baseball. And I dig his story, man. He's a guy who went through some tough times as a kid, was bullied mercilessly growing up, but his goal was always to play professional baseball. And in a world that so many people are worried about what other people think about them, whether they're willing to admit it or not. So many people try to impress other people instead of focusing on themselves. Trevor Bauer is the exact opposite. So I commend him for what he's done to this point, and I'm rooting for the guy moving forward. No doubt about that.
And I commend you for a successful BK Investigates.
Edition number two. It was okay. We're down with the BK Investigates.
I liked it. It was a good one.
Was it better than the first one I tried? What was that story I reported on?
Manti Te'o.
No, it wasn't Manti Te'o. It was
The girlfriend.
No, that was always teased. I haven't gotten to that one yet. It was some new story that had broke a week before.
Oh, it was the guy who tried to go to the remote tribe to spread Christianity.
Yes, and he
ends up getting killed very quickly.
I thought that was a great report by me, but apparently you people had already known about it. I was a little late to the party on that deal.
I feel like you're better off going with these longer sorts of articles that people are too lazy to read through, like myself.
Including myself, 99% of the time. It took a lot out of me to read this article and do my research
here. That was 5 days worth of reading.
God bless. That took a long time. The next BK Investigates will be about the Titanic. If you haven't heard, it's sunk. I'll give you the latest.
Or perhaps the origins of cornflakes.
Cornflakes!
I'm telling you, you're going to look into this one.
All right, I will. And Manti Te'o, the girlfriend story's coming. I'm delving into that one, too. All right, good stuff. Hopefully you enjoyed it. BK Investigates. That'll be a semi-annual type of bit. Every once in a while, we'll bring that back. Coming up next, though, our man Wags will lead us through Tinder time, and that will be followed by our review of the movie Van Wilder and a conversation with hilarious comedian Bert Kreischer. Loaded on a Thursday. It's Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
More music from the 2002 comedy Van Wilder. Now running in his seventh year as a perpetual undergrad, Van Wilder, played by Ryan Reynolds, a college sluggard in the campus's soul, faces a real crisis for the first time in years. His dad, played by Tim Matheson, has decided to cut off his tuition in hopes of getting him to graduate. As a result, Van Wilder sets out to earn money by organizing college parties, the thing he knows best, while at the same time, Gwen, played by Tara Reid, the campus's newspaper reporter, is assigned to write an expose about Van. Will the coolest guy in college make it this time? Now, BK, are you...
Who is the girl? What's
Tara
her
Reid?
Name?
Tara Reid.
Whoa.
Fan?
Yeah. I mean, she upped my...
Is this your first time seeing her?
She upped my Longhorns rating on this movie, I think, a full Longhorn. Just her looking like her.
She's transformed, too. Like, her body type is transformed.
I'm not sure I want to know what she looks like now. That stuff always freaks me out because this movie's more than 15 years old.
This is fascinating to me because at one point I probably felt the same way, but knowing what I do about Tara Reid now, and also, and we'll get to this as part of this movie review, just how bad she is in terms of an actor in this movie, my opinion on her on the whole has gone way down.
Yeah,
my boss did tell me this would be kind of a challenge. Oh, the worst line delivered ever.
You guys are married men, because unmarried guys like me, I would also argue normal guys like me, we look past that type of stuff. Because we're not shallow like y'all. We focus on the looks.
When she comes out in that hockey sweater,
kinda nice.
It's pretty badass.
Now, 2002 was not a great year for comedies, guys. 40 Days and 40 Nights, Goldmember, Death to Smoochie, one of the Friday sequels, the Jackass movie, Joanna Man, Mr. Deeds.
That's a good one.
Not a bad film. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Roger Dodger, Slacker, Sweetest Thing, Undercover Brother. In my opinion, those are probably the best of the comedies from that year.
Jeez.
That's a pretty mediocre lot for the most part.
Yeah, I've never even heard of most of those.
This is a movie, and I fully agree with this, having watched the film yesterday for the first time in probably 10 plus years. This is definitely a movie that not only put Ryan Reynolds on the map, but also proves and still stands the test of time that he is a bona fide movie star. He had been in a sitcom, a very funny sitcom at that, called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place prior to this. But this is really the first time that he was showcased on screen in a film that that had a wide-ranging impact as well.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. I'm not as much of a movie buff as a lot of people, but Ryan Reynolds is still in a lot of movies, right? Like, he's still one of the
Deadpool.
I haven't seen Deadpool. We might have to review
the first Deadpool is really good.
Those movies. I've been told by so many people that I need to watch that. But
he's even Pikachu in the new Pikachu movie. Oh, he's the voice of Pikachu.
That movie looks
like he's just versatile.
So dumb. How is he a Pokemon? Oh, he's just the voice. He's not okay. Yeah, no, I thought he did a good job. He's a good actor. I'm a fan of this dude.
Wags. You fan of the performance by Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, to a T, man. He actually, this was when I was going through like some bad dark days after boot camp and everything, like going into the fleet, being introduced into the fleet of the Marine Corps, and Van Wilder got me through some dark days. That and a lot of drinking.
That's good to know. Now, one of the things that really resonated, that really sticks out with me about this movie, guys, is how difficult it would be to make in 2019. Considering the current climate and what's allowed and what's not allowed anymore, let's think about this for a second. Which of these moments would least likely fly in 2019? And there's a lot of them. The old Asian lady as his tailor, who it looks like there's some other things happening while she's measuring him.
The opening scene.
The kid trying to kill himself but failing. The guys being disgusted by a potential trans roomie. Topless tutors. Getting prepubescent children drunk. An unneutered bulldog that helps fill eclairs. The, quote, my son is a fairy line when he sees Van Wilder dressed up in lingerie. Gwen poisoning her boyfriend with colon blow right before he takes some sort of test, the LSAT or whatever it is. Van Wilder just walking into the women's locker room. And, of course, the deaf coach for the school's basketball team.
This is the first time in my life I'm glad I'm deaf. I can't hear the booze. Now, listen up. I'm going to go over this one more time. In the event they switch to the zone defense.
So which of these least likely flies in 2019, guys?
God, I don't know if any of these fly in 2019. Maybe you could get away with like the colon blow thing.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because the guy was such a D.
Yeah, the trans roomie. I mean, it depends on the type of movie. Maybe you could get away with something like that.
I don't know if you can get away with the dog thing, man.
The dog thing is pretty gross.
The cream filled eclairs.
Well, also them eating it after the fact as well.
My son's a fairy. There's a lot that. Then again, Tropic Thunder was made a few years ago, and like I always kind of refer back to that because that movie actually did really well, as offensive as it was to a ton of people. There's still an audience for humor like this, for sure.
Okay, I've got to go with the deaf basketball coach. Like, you can't, like, openly mock a physical impediment like that.
It's a bad bit.
It is a bad bit. And speaking of the coach, there are a lot of cameos in this film. The most random of all the cameos, though, is the guest appearances by three guys who were on the LA Clippers at the time. And they were the stars of the college basketball team. Michael Olowokandi, Quentin Richardson, and Darius freaking Miles.
Dude, I had no idea. I mean, I recognized all three of those guys. I was like, how the hell do I know these fools? Who are they? I didn't even stop and look at the credits. That makes perfect sense. Darius Miles was pretty obvious to tell for me.
Yeah.
And Ola Candy, of course, I was like, God, that guy looks... Okay. I didn't even know that they had gotten NBA players for that. It's pretty cool.
So if you're having to build your college basketball program around one of those three, which is it?
Well, if it's based on college career, it's got to be the Candy Man. Number one overall pick out of college.
Yeah, it's got to be Candy
Man. Not off his NBA career.
Ola Candy.
I'm going Darius Miles because Darius skipped... college to
That's
go
true.
Straight to the pros.
Good
That's
point.
True.
Good
had a couple decent years in the NBA as well before I'm guessing his own off the court actions kind of led to him flailing out. But yeah, all three of those guys make an appearance in that movie, and I even remember at the time being like, "What the hell are these dudes doing?" And in retrospect, it was probably a red flag as to just how long each had in the league itself.
It wasn't Darius, right? It was C.J. Miles who would have played college ball at Texas.
C.J. got
going...
drafted by the Utah Jazz,
okay.
Yeah.
Got you.
Other cameos from this movie, Booger from Revenge of the Nerds, Eric Estrada, who is trying
Will
out
there be any international travel?
The new roommate, Tom Everett Scott, who, Wags, you called this yesterday. I'd forgotten about this. He plays the editor for the newspaper that Tara Reid writes
Falls,
for.
Yeah.
Too many first names.
The principal from The Breakfast Club.
Yes! No, he's not the principal. He's the guy that does the Saturday detentions.
Yeah, I always assumed it was the principal. Maybe not. Did
I'm
you ever see Breakfast Club?
I'm a swell guy. People like me around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see Breakfast Club.
Tim Matheson, who was the dad in the Brady
Perfect
Bunch movie, amongst other
too.
Things. Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
Magnets!
Did he
yell that in the movie?
He plays, no he didn't, but he plays a guy who shows up at two different parties who interacts with Van Wilder's dad. He's wearing makeup and lingerie the first time through. He has a cussing line that I couldn't play on the air. And then he shows up back again later, plays a drunk guy both times. You can see that it's him when you know it's coming. But yeah, Aaron Paul, one of his first roles. And also the guy from The Big Bang Theory as well. Now, despite all of these cameos, guys, there are really only two candidates for this week's Christopher McDonald Award, a.k.a. Shooter McGavin Award, for the co-star who comes closest to stealing the show from the film star. And we're going to start with Cal Penn, a.k.a. Kumar, from Harold and Kumar, who plays Van Wilder's new roommate and assistant, Taj.
I'm sorry, Taj. I'm going to have to let you go. I don't have the resources to pay for your services anymore.
A good soldier does not leave his commander just because he lies wounded, arms torn off at the sockets, intestines spilling out onto the mud picked at by the birds. I will stay on at no charge.
Okay.
And then also, who? I mean, if we're thinking about the true bad guys in the movie, the true Shooter McGavin type character, Daniel Cosgrove is the actor's name. He plays, speaking of names, BK, Richard Bagg, B-A-G-G. And you know what the other nickname for Richard is. He's the boyfriend to Tara Reid's character and the fratastic D-bag in the film.
Oh, Gwen, your baby feels so good around my swollen phallus. Oh, I'm thrilling. I'm releasing my now.
Which of these two?
Can we play that?
Wins the Shooter McGavin Award.
I'm with. I mean, as good as Kumar was in this movie, and he was great, but the ultimate fratasticness of Richard Bagg, of Daniel Cosgrove, I'm giving him the award this week.
I got to go with Cal Penn. I like Tex, you know, character as well, but Cal Penn is definitely the guy.
Yeah, I got to say, Daniel Cosgrove did a really good job, and I was surprised to look at his credits before and after this movie. He didn't do a whole lot else. Like, his claim to fame, he was a part of three different soap opera casts when a long-standing soap opera ended. And we'll actually get to that in our internet research here in a second. But I'm going with Daniel Cosgrove as well. His girlfriend, of course, was the Tara Reid character. Now on to Tara Reid. She played hotshot reporter Gwen Pearson. Literally one of the worst acting performances of all time, in my opinion. I know that she is attractive, especially to the BK crowd that hadn't seen her before. I don't know how she had the movie career that she did in retrospect. She was so bad at acting.
Even the overacting was just awful. It was the time where she doesn't say anything and she like looks at him.
Just
you know,
her
running.
Look. You're absolutely
it's,
right
it's
about that.
Just
it's insincere.
It's awful.
I have. Do I do a Google search for Tara Reid? Do I want to see what she looks like right now?
Have you seen The Big Lebowski?
I've seen The Big Lebowski.
That's her best role.
That movie's even older than...
It is.
Van Wilder.
No, you're right about that. But she has limited lines in that movie, and it's the perfect casting job for her as well.
American Pie?
Sit there, look pretty, and say, like, really vulgar things. And even in American Pie, like, thinking back on it last night, she was the same bad actor in American Pie that she was in this movie.
She wasn't
the showcase hot girl, though. So it was less obvious, like it was in Van Wilder in 2002.
You're right.
Details. She crushed it. Killed her performance. Did a phenomenal
great skater.
Did a phenomenal job.
Internet research, guys. I have to admit, there is not a whole lot in the way of oral history for the movie Van Wilder, so this is pretty sparse. But speaking of Daniel Cosgrove, mentioned the three soap operas that he was a part of when each got canceled, Guiding Light, As the World Turns, and Days of Our Lives. There were two sequels to this movie, The Rise of Taj, and then a prequel, I guess, if you will, Van Wilder Freshman Year. Movie was actually filmed on the UCLA campus, and Ryan Reynolds said most of the movie was ad-libbed. It's one of the things he really enjoyed about that. Reynolds also not a big fan of the bulldog eclair part of the film as well, but he said that he understood why it was in like it was.
Grossed him out too
much? Yeah, that was a little over the top.
It was pretty gross. Hilarious, though.
More of a general question, guys, because this movie ends with outtakes. I've been a proponent for a long time of... Maybe there's the occasional film that should not have outtakes. It really humanizes the experience of making the movie.
Yeah, don't go Schindler's List outtakes at the end,
With the exception of the Schindler's List type of film, should most movies include outtakes as part of the closing credits?
A movie like this? Absolutely. I think it just ties the movie together, man.
Yeah, I'm cool with comedy movies having the outtakes. I don't necessarily care for it if it's like an action or a horror movie.
See, I feel like the horror would play really well.
Think so?
Yeah,
I think
it would. Stay in character too, right?
I think it would because there are bound to be moments where somebody flubs a line, and everybody starts laughing in the middle of what's supposed to be like the scariest part of a scene.
And the guy, instead of coming with a knife, he comes with like some shampoo bubbles, scrubbing bubbles thing, or I don't know something.
Yeah, Jason's like marching after somebody, and the hockey mask comes flying off or something.
Oh, yeah. You look great!
Yeah, you guys. It sounds like y'all laugh at those outtakes more than I do. I'm usually pretty ready to close my computer screen and go do something else when those are on.
It depends on the outtakes. So, like, they've done outtakes for seasons of Always Sunny. Those are hilarious. So if you haven't seen those yet, I would highly recommend those.
Well, that's a whole nother level.
You may dig those. And speaking of closing credits, it's time for the 1980s Where Are They Now that precedes most closing credits in the 1980s films. Where is Taj now? Where is Taj? Still, is he back in India?
Still in school.
Still in school?
He's the next Van Wilder, so he just stayed in school for like 10 years.
Living it up.
He did study abroad in the next one, in the sequel. But I didn't make it halfway.
Well, he was studying abroad at the end of the movie, and he tried to...
Oh, that's right. He went back to England, though.
Oh.
Or no, I'm sorry. He didn't go back to England. He went to England.
Hmm. Well, he was studying Naomi, you know, abroad. Okay. That joke apparently missed
with
Wags.
What is that backwards?
Oh, jeez.
Taj is a doctor, in my opinion. How about Richard Bagg? What is Richard Bagg up to these days? We stay like state congressman, perhaps?
He's an RA.
Made a certain level in politics.
He's a lawyer.
Lawyer?
He turned out to be a lawyer. He's like, oh my God, what's the dude from Entourage?
Ari?
Yeah.
He's like an agent?
Yeah, he's like an agent or something like that, just the ultimate.
Did he wind up at Northwestern, or did he crap himself out of there?
Probably not.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know if that's the latter. Work. Yeah.
How about Gwen Pearson? First of all, is she still with Van, which is a hard no? And secondly, is she still a newspaper reporter who takes her job way too seriously?
Nah, she looks too good for that.
Housewife? Going housewife bit here?
I'm just saying, she might have moved to TV or something if she stuck in the media business. I don't know.
She's one hell of a skater. Can she be an ice girl?
Good question there.
Try to think less demeaning profession. She can do whatever she wants to do.
Finally, Van Wilder. What is Van Wilder up to in 2019?
He entered into the transfer portal and had a few more eligibilities at another college. So he decided graduating sucks, so he went back to school.
He's the dean of West Canaan.
No way. Guys, this is an easy one. He is either a party planner or he's a sales guy, a wildly successful like car salesman or something. Because he could talk to anybody.
Alex
could
connect with anybody. Or Scott Elder? You think those dudes were party animals in school?
Perhaps something like that. All
right.
Finally, guys, 1 to 10 Longhorns for the 2002 comedy Van Wilder.
I'm going to go 7.7.
Okay.
I'm going to have to give it a 9, man. It really
nine.
Got me through. Yeah, man. When I was in the School of Infantry and getting into the fleet, this movie really put a smile on my face. I watched it over and over again.
I like it. I'm going 7.5. It did not God, I hate that I'm getting so old now that these movies that I loved 20 years ago aren't having the same impact on me now. But was not as big of a fan on the most recent rewatch. Although I do have to admit that I missed this line the first time around, and maybe you can tell me whether this is true or not, BK. Is matzo ball soup Jewish penicillin, like Van Wilder suggests, a sick boy?
It helps. That's what like your mother or your bubby would serve you if you weren't feeling well. It's like our chicken noodle soup type of bit.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't know if there's any drugs in there, though, like penicillin. That would be a story to tell. All right. Good stuff right there. Hey, coming up next, this movie was based on somebody, whether National Lampoon's wants to admit it or not. This movie was based on a comedian named Bert Kreischer, who's now a very famous, funny comedian who will be in Austin tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, at the Paramount. We spoke with him. We'll play that interview for you next. It's Trey and BK on the Horn.